where it's like, you need to be trauma informed or you're going to worsen somebody else's trauma. And I was like,
good. Fucking cry. Basically, I am an infant because I want you to revolve around me and the majority of my pleasant feelings.
Right.
And if you don't conjure pleasant feelings, then it's your job to make sure you do.
Called to do that. I feel I will sleep well at night with one foot out and the fan on tonight, knowing that I have shamed you into deeper trauma. And stable, I'd be like, what is their routine? What is it that they do? What are their habits that keep them this way? You know, and it's like, you don't have to be a sociopath to, you know, but you certainly don't have to attach yourself to every cry out in the crowd, you know?
Hello, everyone. A little reminder, this is hashtag team no delusion. Nothing is edited. Nothing is polished up. Everything is raw. Everything is straight imported onto the podcast because I don't want to participate in none of that Hollywood nonsense. Everything has to look perfectly. Everything has to look fake. Everything has to look a certain way. So you'll get the raw version. A little before we go into the episode, I've been having and receiving lots of requests on information like, what are my offerings right now? What's happening? What will be happening? And as I am currently kind of in a, aside from being in a rebranding, I'm trying to figure out and level up my own methods right now. So there will be another Dollar Academy, because the money for 6 months. I'm currently practicing and working and refining methods for a discipline room, how to become a luck magnet. I have Red Magic Magic coming up. I have Rural Life. I have Louboutin Riches. I have everything. Everything is coming up. Be sure to be subscribed to my email list on thedollaracademy.com. And if you can't find it or if it's too much effort, just hit me with a DM and just give me your name and email, and I'll put you there on manually myself. I have lots of good stuff coming, from tiny luck exponential magnet amplifications for like $9 to several thousand dollar programs. So I promise you, I'm trying to cater to as broad as possible, and I'm trying to get everyone involved. So yeah, get involved, and I can't wait to see you in. Welcome at Fearless Wealth. Today, your favorite opinionated two people, winners, a legendary Amerislav, and our favorite diamond queen, Japan, East Europe, America, uniting up in this. Here at Fearless Wealth, diamonds and demons. So, we tried this before, but half the electricity in my house is off for somehow reason. I'll get to that later. And now Kelly told me that she's already fired up. So Kelly's going to bring the fired upness.
So I've been seeing a lot of, like, I think there's been a couple of idea threads that you and I have been carrying, some, you know, like the whole idea of what trauma is. Right. And so, and then I've been kind of on this thing about, you know, adults policing other adults' tone and word choice, et cetera, as if we were their children. And so today, was it today? It was a few days ago, actually. I forgot about it until somebody replied, and it popped back up again. But it was a post that I shared with you saying that you're not helping. Shame doesn't help traumatized people. And I was like,
but what? It does.
Well, there's a few ways to go with that, right? Like, first is like, you could argue that it does. There's that piece, right? There's the other piece that says, what makes you think that my intention is to help you? Like, as if that was my job. You're acting like a whole fucking chore over here. Like, I don't want the work. So it's like, and I said, look, it depends on what my intention is, right? If I really want to help you, then right. I'm probably going to give you more of a sales pitch than I am the straight truth, because I want you to really hear me. I want you to take in what I'm saying. I want you to be receptive. So I'm going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to soften my word choice. I'm going to be diplomatic. I'm going to do all that stuff. I said, but if that's not my goal, and you're just basically using your trauma as a hall pass to be a cunt, then I'm just going to tell you that access denied, right? And I have no problem dragging your ass. Like, I don't care that somebody did a bad thing to you sometime in your life. You don't get to, shit doesn't roll downhill, and I'm not downhill from you, and that's not happening, you know? And it's like, one person chimed in and said, you just don't want to do the emotional work. I guess that's okay if that's your choice. And I was like, it's more than okay. I said, it's fucking great. Because I'm not sitting here with this extra workload of people that have become apparently my responsibility and my job. This is not a thing. And so that happened. And then today it gets resurfaced. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you need to be trauma informed or you're going to worsen somebody else's trauma. And I was like,
good, good. Fucking cry.
Yeah. I'm like, and how is that? So my thing was like, okay, first of all, that's not how I forge my relationships at all. Like, my relationships are never predicated on that. So that's that. I said, but second of all, if you're going to become a job for me, then already we don't have mutual respect for each other, which is already going to be an issue, right? Because I don't come to my friends as a job. Do I ask for advice? Sure. Do I ask, like, how would you handle this? 100%, which is not the same as me expecting my friends to, you know, to walk in this, you know, emotional landmine and tread lightly for me and my fragility's sake. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, that's such an imposition. And we're not doing this emotional welfare / charity work, okay? Like,
But now that we're on the topic, like, I'll take this opportunity. And I wanted to tell you that, like, I wanted to not ask you, because that would imply that, you know, you have a saying in this. But I wanted to put on you that your black hair really triggers me, because I've gotten into the girl that bullied me had black hair. And so I just, like, every time, like you exist, basically, it elicits this trigger in me. And I just think that's not really trauma informed of you. I think you should, you need to, like, at least dye your hair. And then, just a few tones.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Go ahead and do that for next Monday. That'd be great. So I can heal.
Yeah. So I can heal.
I'm like, I said, I don't understand how this is my responsibility. And I don't understand who would want me to be responsible of them. For them.
Everyone. It's like you that look, we need to come to terms. The reality is that you and I are not only surrounded by entrepreneurial people, people who operate on the edges of societal rules, we're surrounded by millionaires, multimillionaires. Do we have a billionaire in our circle? I don't think we do. But we have people of 100 million net worth plus. So that is our circle. So we cannot, and then we have people from communist countries. Then we have people who are tax creative avoiders. Like, we have all these people, all legal, mind you. Everyone's doing legal shit, right? So we cannot comprehend that the majority of the world does expect you to take responsibility for their triggers and trauma. So the question, who would even want the majority of the world?
But, you know, what's entailed in that is that you answer to me. If I'm going to claim you as a dependent,
no,
I'm going to take responsibility.
No,
for you,
this is no, we're rebranding everything. It's just like, I want the people who have more money to pay more taxes so I can do more fun stuff.
Right. Self-actualizing. Yeah.
Right. It's that I feel that I have the innate right by existing to kind of like float through life. Work is a burden on my system. I should not have to work. Right? So no, country daddy or whatever authority does not get more saying over me. They just have to give me more. Basically, I am an infant because I want you to revolve around me and the majority of my pleasant feelings.
Right.
And if you don't conjure pleasant feelings, then it's your job to make sure you do.
Right.
And you can't expect anything from me because I'm an infant. Everything is supposed to revolve around me.
Right. And I make sure that my wounds never heal so that I'm always bleeding everywhere all the time. You know, it's, I mean, and I'm thinking, you know, it's like, that's the thing is it's like when you see somebody who's physically hurt and you offer them help, they tend to follow your lead, right? You know, if somebody's sitting there and they're like, I just broke my leg, right? And you're, oh shit, okay, I'll lift you up, put your arm around my neck, and we're gonna get you to my car and I'll get you to a hospital, right? That would be something I would do, right? Random stranger, I'd do it. I would offer help if I saw them in trouble. Like, you know, Chris has done this. I've watched him. It's like, you know, a woman got flipped over in a car and right. He goes in and goes to see if she's okay. Like, okay. And anything he says, she's amenable because it's more than what she has right now, right? So she's like, he's like, let me go see if I can get somebody to help bring your car out. Let me see if I can do this. She's like, okay, you know, and she's open to any suggestions, right? She's in, yeah. She's in a situation. Most people in physical turmoil or trauma, right? Where they are, have broken a thing or they are stuck in a situation, physically stuck in a situation, are very amenable to what people say. They do not take it as shame. They take it as a way out. They see it as a lifeline immediately. But when you see somebody who is emotionally broken and you offer that same lifeline, now it's shame. Now right. it's exacerbating their trauma. And I said, right. You know, and I was telling the person today, I said, the person who is trauma informed, right, and is meant to cater to your, to all of your ebbs and flows of your emotions, that's called a therapist. They get paid, right, to put up with your bullshit. And in some cases, they can help tolerate. You navigate through it. What's that?
To tolerate you.
Right.
They get paid to tolerate you.
Because nobody wants to do this for free. That's how fucking imposing you are. You actually cost money to put up with. This is where you're at. So go see a therapist. The therapist might be able to help you navigate through it, right? If they're a good therapist. Or maybe they just protract it and they make it worse. I don't know. But that's to be seen. So, but I'm not here to ruminate in your problems with. I don't, that's not my thing. That's not my purpose. That's not, I don't feel called to do that. I will sleep well at night with one foot out and the fan on tonight, knowing that I have shamed you into deeper trauma. If that's the case, I said, I honestly couldn't care less how this affects you because I'm not doing this with you. I'm not playing this fucking game because that's what it is. It's a fucking game. You know,
it is a power. So like first and foremost, it's a power game and yeah. Using the car analogy, right? Where someone gets into a car accident or yeah. Someone breaks their leg. So it's not them breaking their leg. It's them standing outside, pointing at a person. Look, that person has broken their leg and you need to help.
Right.
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 It's not that. Oh my God, can we help? Oh my God, there's something going on. Oh my God, I am in distress. Please help. No. There is a problem, whether that there is pointing at themselves, and you need to help.
Right.
You right. need, by pure mere existence, you, it's your responsibility. You need to help. And again, right. This is all, it's infant mindset.
Yeah, oh, it is. Well, I mean, and I think about it and I'm like, you know, my parents grew up in really shitty circumstances. Both of them were grossly abused, like physically just, but they never brought that shit to us. That was never our problem to deal with. And the way in which my dad put it was, I don't bring my bullshit to the table and make you have to sort through it and walk on eggshells around me. and I'm not doing that with you. And that's called respecting each other as human beings. If you can't hold it together and you can't be a decent human being at the table, go to your room, sort it out, get over yourself. And then when you're ready to talk about it, like a decent human being, I'm here. And that was the
deal. Figure out your life.
Right. But don't bring that, don't bring your bullshit here. I'm not here for it. And you're not here for it. Get the fuck out. Right. It was just, he literally kicked us out of the room. And to me, I'm like, that is a lesson, right? That we can work through whatever is on your mind. You're having a bad day. I don't fucking care. Whatever it is. We can work through that objectively, but you don't get to treat me like shit in the process.
However,
I'm not gonna walk on eggshells for you.
Right. However, the situation you specifically described here is high abuse. Right? Because your dad not revolving around your titty titty feelings.
Right.
It's abuse and neglect.
Unto itself. That's correct. That's my trauma.
And I'm saying this with such a big fucking wink and sarcasm. And
right.
Like, I hope everyone listening and watching right now, I hope this stabs you so deeply energetically that if you have any feelings about the situation that Kelly just described, I hope it fucking hurts you. And I want you to know that your bloodline is weak. And I want you to know that your ancestors are deeply, deeply, deeply ashamed of you. And they wish they had swallowed you. I need people to understand that our ancestors, we have Japan, we have East Europe, right? They have been raped. They have been pillaged. They have been nuked. They have experienced the worst thing. However, your dad telling you to cool the fuck down is considered high abuse right now and neglect. And that's why I'm saying your ancestors are ashamed of everyone who feels that. Your bloodline is weak. There will come nothing of your spawn because they will become even weaker than you are at your responsibility.
Right.
You should have been swallowed.
I mean, I'm actually really embarrassed by the fact that people are behaving this way and thinking that this is healthy in some way. It isn't, you know, it's like,
and helpful.
It's not helpful for anyone to hear that you survived abuse. Like, even if you did, even if it was legitimate abuse, not this bullshit, but real abuse. Let's say somebody really did throw you across a room and shit. Okay. That's fine. That happened. Okay. But you're still finger banging your fucking wounds here. And it's years later. So I'm just wondering what the fuck. When do you get to close the chapter on that? Or are you carrying that fucking albatross into fucking eternity? And you're making us fucking have to praise you for carrying a load you didn't have to carry? That was a moment in time. It happened years ago. And you're still fucking walking around with that shit. And nobody gives a fuck. And when I don't give a fuck, then I'm the asshole. But why is that any of my fucking business? How you come as an adult is your business. Yeah.
Well, no, because we established that you need.
Right.
You need to take care of me. You need to. Right. And again, when we use terms as in like, you need to coddle me. Coddling is such a that's such a dissonant word. Like that doesn't even land. You need to revolve around me. Again, I'm the fucking infant. And the infant thing, we need to illustrate that plenty enough. Because when there is an infant in a social gathering, even among strangers, right? When I go to the rodeo and people bring their kids there, it's a glorious, everyone maneuvers around the kids.
Right.
Strangers maneuver around the kids, right? Kid is playing, completely oblivious, you know, is talking to Hoshi here, Hoshi there, is playing in the sand with his tracker, and everyone is maneuvering around the kid. That's what's going on.
Right.
Because it's noble, normal, beautiful to see society maneuver around kids. The people that we're speaking of right now, their body has grown up, but they're a kid stuck in a grown body.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, and I'm just like, I think my question is, do you know who the fuck you are without this yoke on your neck? Like, do you have any idea who the fuck you are? Is your entire identity revolving around the fact that one time somebody did a bad thing? Whatever that bad thing is, and you can think of the worst possible thing. At the end of the day, why is that something I have to consider? And why are you making that my problem? Like, why is this becoming now a metastasizing issue that spreads to me? I feel like it's what it is it's to me, it's very, it's that distinction in relationships between codependent and interdependent, right? So codependent is very parasitic, right? Whereas interdependent is very symbiotic. So trauma bonding versus growth bonding and that type of thing. There's a huge dynamic, and it doesn't look too different on the outside, but it is very different energetically, right? And so when I start, if I'm bonding with you or forging some sort of relationship with you, and I start to see that you're relying on me to soften the world around you, and that it's my responsibility to pad the walls for your crazy ass, right? Then that becomes very codependent, because it's only one-sided. I'm the one giving everything, and you're the one making all the demands, right? But in an interdependent relationship, we're now saying, you're not even asking me to accommodate you. You would be asking for something, you know, that would just help you in general, get you to the next level, whatever that is, right? Like, I'm trying to grow my business. Do you have any insight on what I could do to help, you know, to get me to that next level? And I could say, okay, well, yeah, there's some things you can do. And then you would take that under advisement rather than tell me, I'm bombarding you with a bunch of, you know, entrepreneurial shame, right? Like, that's not a thing, like, you know? And so I'm seeing that. And like we were talking about, we had tabled a different topic, but it feeds into this as well, how our lives are worse than our ancestors today. And I'm like, my fucking ancestors didn't have plumbing. No, that's not true. I have plumbing. And just by that alone, I'm already better. Okay. Like this shit where it's like, you know, and it's like, and getting into this fucking pissing match of who has it worse, you know, and how
that's the whole root of privilege terminology and correct. Gender war and race yes. war, right? That's yes. We are playing victim Olympics.
Right.
And by any means necessary, mm-hmm. I have to come out on top. And this is, it's one of those things, right? And this is absolutely unique to America. You know, America needs to be number one in everything. Mm-hmm. But even they also need to be. Mm-hmm.
Even if it's tragedy.
Yeah. Right? So this beautiful, beautiful nation that I wholeheartedly carry and I'm grateful to every day. The church in my town is older than this nation, right? The church in my town was built in 1516. Hmm. That church still operates today. Everyone got baptized there. I got kicked out of there plenty of times because I had questions. Questions are not allowed. That's fine. But America prides itself in being... So this is how much and the conversation around Beyonce is glorious right now. Like, Beyonce made an Americana album. I wouldn't call it even country, but made an Americana album. And the black people are upset because she backstabbed them. Sure. And the white people are upset because it's a black woman try to infiltrate country. And the black people then, either black people think she backstabbed them, or black cowboys were the first cowboys. And I'm like, boo-boo, I guarantee. So I'm like, you don't realize how American you sound right now, because I can guarantee you there's no fucking cowboys in Africa. So you're referring to American black people, which fair enough. I'm game for that. But so now it's convenient, right? So no, we. And the conversation when I speak of, like, you know, again, communism, Communist Party was still alive. Like, Communist Party was still leading when I was born. Like, this is not a slavery ancestry 300 years ago. This is me when I was born. Like, this was, no, you don't understand. Because this, and this in America is worse than whatever. So, and then, you know, when you bring the whole, like, you realize that American poverty, because poverty is being brought up often, I'm like, you realize that American poverty is still a walk in the park compared to the rest of the world.
Right.
Well, and then some kind of, like, very elaborate mental gymnastics on why American suffering,
right,
is superior,
right,
to the rest of the world. So America's suffering, right, which is only a conversation among the, ironically, the middle class, those who can, again, because the actual lower class is too fucking busy surviving in any nation.
Right.
But America's suffering is superior to Sharia law. I don't know how to pronounce it in English, right? So mutilation, it's superior to whole nations who don't have running water, right, where rape is just accepted.
Right.
Where actually stoning each other for different races, culture is okay,
right,
but American suffering is superior.
That's right. Oh, 100%.
While in the same breath, America's the fucking worst. We hate America.
Right. All of that. All at once. We can hold all of that, you know, because that's what happens when you empty your brain. You have plenty of space to hold all the thoughts. They don't have to match, and they never have to meet each other. They never have to conflict because they're just plenty of room, you know? And it's like I was so somebody had said, you know, something like, you know, somebody posted something to the effect of, you know, money, you know, somebody will say, you know, money doesn't buy happiness, but it buys all the things that can make you happy. And I said, it depends on how you define happiness, right? If you're maladjusted, no amount of money is going to buy you out of your mental state. You are still going to be as, you know, as Looney Tunes as you were when you were poor. You're just going to have a lot of money behind it. You know, it's no different than if it's like just giving an alcoholic more money is just going to mean he's going to buy more expensive shit, but he's still going to buy the alcohol. Like your addiction to your emotional bullshit is just going to be exacerbated with money because you aren't right. Like you aren't right. So it doesn't matter that you have money or you don't. You're not sad because you can't make your bills. You're sad because you see no purpose and you have no sense of connection and you're completely fucking off the rails. Okay. And I said, because I've actually gone to third world countries, right? I've been to like Indonesia and I've been to freaking Thailand and I actually hung out with locals. I didn't hang out with the Europeans that were all there for 6 months kicking it on the beach. I just hung out with the locals because they were really nice. And they're poor as fuck. They're generous as fuck. They're warm as fuck. And they're happy and well-adjusted. And I'm like, so what the fuck is your excuse, first world country people, living in your middle class two-bedroom apartment? These people are living 12 to a fucking room. The house is a room. It's the same thing. The kitchen, the living room, and the bedroom is the same fucking room. That's where they're sleeping. They don't have furniture. They sit around on the floor and they each have their own bowl. It's like, and they're fucking happy. They're well-adjusted. They're not going out doing weird shit. But you're over here doing weird shit because you can't afford a two-bedroom apartment by yourself in the middle of Phoenix. You know, and I'm like, none of this makes any sense. It wasn't the money. It was never the money. It's that you're insatiable and you're jealous.
Right. Oh, 100%. And you're an infant. And I want to, because I know that the people, this is the thing, most people will agree on this. I want to emphasize that money does absolutely not buy happiness. However, it has the possibility to eliminate certain stress factors.
Sure.
That does not mean that you're going to be stressless. God, right. Do I fucking know?
There's just new stresses but that come with it.
Certain, right. And we could totally debate whether there's a hierarchy of stress, because I'm absolutely okay. Like, it's great that, you know, you don't have to stress about, you know, being able to buy food. Like, obviously, like, that stress is being alleviated from you, which is an extremely important one. But stress does not make happiness. Is this external responsibility narrative? It's escapism, right? When these middle class people operate in a poverty mindset, then money becomes not only the root of evil, but it becomes the only solution too, right? Which, first of all, are a contradiction, because you cannot believe that rich people are bad for having a lot of money, but also your problems would be solved if you just had more money, right? Nothing in your psyche will allow you to have more money. But it's this external thing. My life can be solved in this whatever. And it's always external. If I just won the lottery, if, you know, I wouldn't have to, you know, if my mother had loved me more, if my boss would be more accommodating. Like, there's a very distinguished, I would be happy if, comma, exclamation mark, and then a whole list. And I'm saying, you would be happy if you go inward and figure out happiness. And I would also argue that, I'm going to sound like fucking Andrew Tate, top G, top B.
Wait.
Infants follow happiness.
Yeah.
Fully created, self-created, responsible adults and mature people depict a certain amount of behavior which inevitably results in happiness.
Correct. That is a culmination of choices, yes, and mindset that all comes together, and you will have that epiphany in a moment. You will have a moment where it all comes together and you're like, this is awesome. This is really great. I love this, you know, and then you keep going, you know, and it's like, you're not going through these peaks and valleys.
Yeah. Whereas happiness is mostly confused as this temporal, like, bliss, perhaps, right? Like this ecstasy feeling, almost MDMA feeling, where you're in this moment, where you're like, oh, I'm euphoric, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you keep chasing fulfillment, if you chase discipline, if you repeat behaviors that make you confident and add to the evidence that you are capable, boom, all of a sudden you're happy.
And the reality is that you can create a tremendous amount of stability in your life just by virtue of becoming more routine and disciplined with your behaviors and your activities and your time management, your money management. You will create stability, because what's stressing you out is the instability and the insecurity. That is what's stressing you out. The fact that there's a question about where your money's coming from, or where your food is coming from, or where your rent is coming from, all of that is the same question. It all comes down to the fact that you're insecure about something. In this case, you have financial insecurity, you have food insecurity, or whatever it is. Security comes from stability. Stability comes from discipline, and discipline comes from within. And it's one of those things where I can cut you a check and bail you out of this situation today, you will find yourself here tomorrow because you haven't changed your habits, you know, and your habits remain the same. They're poverty habits. You have poor habits and you have a poor life to reflect it. And now it's just self-perpetuating. And so, I mean, if it were me, if I'm looking the same way, I would look at a millionaire and say, what does a millionaire do, right? To be a millionaire. The millionaire isn't living a very lavish life. The millionaire is actually living a very average, lackluster life, because he's basically living well below his means. And so millionaires...
But his means are just bigger. That's right. He made his means just bigger.
That's right. And so he creates distance from poverty by way of living well below his means. And that's basically his main habit. And then, yes, he does a lot of other things. He works very hard and no task is beneath him.
He cultivates more means.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And then he has multiple streams of income. And then, you know, you can look at those habits and say, you know what? I wonder if it's really that hard to do that. Probably not. You know, you could probably do pretty well on your own and cultivate those things and set those things up for yourself to make a plan and say, this is how I'm going to live. And I'm going to live really, I'm going to go hard for 10 years so I can go soft the other 70 years and do whatever I want. I don't know. There's all sorts of ways in which to, you know, configure this. But if I'm looking at somebody who's happy, right, and who's content and stable, I'd be like, what is their routine? What is it that they do? What are their habits that keep them this way? You know, and it's like, you don't have to be a sociopath to, you know, but you certainly don't have to attach yourself to every cry out in the crowd, you know, like that you're not going to solve those problems. You know, it was interesting. I might've told you this story, but my uncle was like this super hippy dippy guy, like real, like, super hippie to be like, there's a picture of him with tie-dye shirts and an afro and this whole thing. He was just total hippie guy. And he got into his, you know, little Hare Krishna woo woo, whatever stuff in the 60s and 70s. And he thought he'd be the big bad guy who goes from the first world country and he's going to go to India and he's going to solve poverty. Cause
I love that.
Right.
Bless him.
So he goes out to India. Bless his heart. He goes out to India and he meets up with this guru, right? And he's like, and the guru's like, why are you here? Right? And he's like, say less.
Let me tell you.
My no cap. Goes, I'm here to help these people. And the guru's like, go home. You're not helping them. And he's like, what? Like, you know, he's like taking a fucking plane, then he has to take this rickety bus, and then he has to take a train, he takes another horse and a jackass. He gets to this little village and goes through all this, and the guy's like, go home, you're not helping me. If that's what you're here for, you're not doing that. Go home. And he's like, what do you mean? And he says, you're not going, he's like, they've been here for generations like this, and they're going to continue to be like this generations long after you're dead. He's like, you're not fixing this. That's not what this is. So if that's why you're here, go home. He goes, then why would I come? What can I do? What can possibly be done? And he says, so the guru tells him, you can work on you. That's what you can do. You can refine yourself. You can give yourself more perspective. You can learn to humble yourself. You can learn to understand how parts of the world live in ways that you could not have known just by sitting in the United States and reading a book or watching a documentary. You can see how other people live and learn from that and appreciate what you have. And you can grow as a human being and bring that kind of wisdom and knowledge and insight back to your country and to your people and teach them about it. He's like, because if you're not going to do that work on yourself, you might as well go home. There's no point, because you're just going to beat your head against the wall. And you're gonna be sorely disappointed. You can't be here forever, and it's never gonna work. And you're gonna realize that very quickly. And that was, you know, he told me that. And it was just a really incredible thing to hear. That it's like, this is not why you do things. So you need to put that altruistic bullshit aside. And that virtue signaling bullshit aside, there's no home for it here. That's first world shit you're talking, right? You can say that to another first world person and you guys can, you know, can stroke each other's dicks and then get off and it'll be over. Right. Everybody will have a good time. He's like, but over here, this is real shit. And the reality of, you know, Calcutta and, you know, these little villages outside of Delhi and all that. It's like our reality goes well beyond what some white dude from the United States is going to do. Sorry. That's just not in the cards for you. So go home or stay for you. And it's a crazy thing to hear. And, you know, I think he stayed for a while and then went home. And, but he was like, he's like, I don't even know. He's like, all I did was just try to fix myself. He's like, and that's, you know, and I did the best I could and that was it. And he's like, and I realized, all I realized when I got home was how much work there is to be done on myself. And that was it, you know? And I was like, yeah, then you learned. That's the lesson, you know? But nobody thinks like that. People are thinking, you know, that I've heard people equate their trauma in the first world to what is happening, you know, to children in Congo and working in the mines, because your brain doesn't know the difference. It just knows that it's stressed out and that it's going through a lot of anxiety and depression. It doesn't understand the circumstances. It only knows the feeling. And I'm like, right, but there is a part of your brain that fully understands the contextual difference. There is an intellectual part of you that you are 100% suppressing in order to pull that argument off. You've turned off your intellect that clearly delineates the difference between a child working as a slave in Congo, strip mining, and the fact that you were in a shitty relationship with an asshole.
No, it's the same. Kelly, you're wrong. Clearly, the person in the relationship that they chose to and gives them anxiety is worse than the child slave in the Congo.
That's right. So,
because I don't fucking even know how to mentally masturbate out of this. So this is the thing. I feel like the challenge is with people like this is because they're obviously surrounded by people who have the same or didn't know any better. So they don't have any contrast. Because if that's your... Did I speak about the arrogance and the stupid and the lazy percentage of the world? Of no. America in this case? A little bit of Andrew Tate, a little bit of Toby, a little bit of mix. But his point is like, we miscalculate how much people, because we always say, oh, people are stupid, people are lazy. And he's like, that's not true. There's a tiny percentage of people who that is stupid, that just is too stupid to kind of like, however, somehow even stupid people become really rich and successful. So clearly stupidity in any abstract measurement isn't the problem to a successful life.
Right.
Then there's a tiny, tiny percent of people that are lazy, because most people work extra hard and really hard. They just work really hard at the wrong thing, but they're absolutely not lazy. Right. So the lazy people is also a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage. The majority of the people is arrogant. Because the majority of the people will come to a successful person in any measurement, right? Whether it's finances, relationship, whatever. And they will go, tell me how to get where you are. Or tell me how to have what you are. What you have, right? It's not even how to get, because that implies some pull, personal, like, you know, the willingness. How to get what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And the successful person will go, well, you get up every day, you train or you work out or you work hard, etc. And they go, nah, I prefer to have a work-life balance. So when the successful millionaire, like all of us in the group, right, who go like, you have to, there's a grind period, right? Then you can live lavishly, but first there's grinding, and they'll be like, no, I prefer a work-life balance. And Top G specifically, and again, I will adopt this as if I said this myself. That's like ordering or hiring a piano teacher, a master. You have never held a piano. You've never been at a piano. And the teacher goes, I need you to put your fingers like this. And you go, well, I kind of like it more when I put my fingers differently. That's the direct equivalent of what's going on right now.
Yes.
Most people are not stupid. Most people are not lazy. Most people are absolutely fucking arrogant.
That's exactly it. There is a remarkable difference between that and confidence. And I think the arrogance is basically confidence with ignorance. You know, like you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but you're really sure. You're
without saying. Embodiment. Yeah.
You're really sure about how ignorant you are. And that we can but tell. Really and sure. If only you actually back that up with skill and knowledge and data and understanding and perspective, how much better off you would be, right? Like you go through a lot. It's like going through the work of filling out welfare forms. You know, you're like, you were willing to wait in line, go to this office, you know, fill out the forms, go through the online thing. You go through the, I don't have the fucking patience. I won't do it. For no, I'd sooner die under a bridge. I just don't. I can't. The bureaucracy alone is too much. Like, I almost let my passport expire because I was like, fuck, I got to make an appointment. Then I found a way to do it online and I was like, oh my God, you saved my life. Yeah, angels are singing, the light in the sky, whole thing. Like, I was like, this is a miracle because I literally was going to, 3 days before it expired, I get the ad and I was like, yes, click, done. You know, it's going to cost this much. Don't care. I just don't want to go and do the forms.
Perfect.
They filled out my forms for me. They did everything. Like, I was like, okay, you know, but there's people who will put, so like you said, they will put a lot of work and a lot of energy into the wrong thing. They would sooner come up with a scheme to rip somebody off than to just sit there and fucking hold down a job. And I'm like, and have a real skill, you know? And it's embarrassing because I'm just like, you could have all this energy you're putting into justifying yourself and rationalizing your bullshit and, you know, and writing your own fucking hall pass and permission slip to be a fucking bitch, all of that to be a mess. To just get so that people will just normalize your mess is a lot of work that could have been done on you instead, but you chose to work on me and you failed at that too. So that's got to really
suck. Right. Now you're a double failure.
Yeah.
You now I am look down on you and I'm disgusted by you.
That's correct. Cause you tried to control me. You tried to change me. When in fact, you could have changed yourself. You're the one that's fucked up and broken. Why the fuck are you trying to change me? I'm well adjusted and perfectly fine. You know, like, that's what doesn't make any sense. I'm like, wow, you're literally putting in this effort and this work and you're posting and you're commenting, all this shit to try and convert me and mold me when you could have been sitting there rehabilitating and refurbishing yourself. Fixing the leaks in your own fucking system. Like,
but there's this weird thing going on right now though. Like, and I've had this conversation several times and I'm just using myself as example because that's the closest thing, right? Like, most people don't know theoretically, like rationally, what I've been through, but they know it's been a lot. Like, again, but they can't list necessarily the things, right? They're kind of like, because people are always like, oh, you know, this is Red. She's been through like fucking life. And recently I started asking, so what do you know I've been through? And it's kind of like, I don't know, but there's a discernment, right? There's a classic discernment. However, what starts happening is when you deal with these broken people and others start using you as examples, like me, like, hey, Red, Bara, like successful, blah, 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 blah. And the broken people go like, oh no, she's just coping or she's just shoved it down real fast. But she's just as broken, if not more, than we are. She just doesn't know it yet, right? And this happens in the feminism, in the racism. Any black person that feels like there's that racism isn't as prevalent as all the leftovers make it out to be, they're like, oh no, you're just oppressed. You're so oppressed you can't even see it. All the women that are in happy relationships, oh no, she's just so under the spell of patriarchy, she just doesn't know it yet.
Right.
So there's this thing, there's mind virus amongst the broken people. And again, not the real broken people, like in the actual world problems, but the modern West, first world broken people that does such mental gymnastics, that again, that they are the most, that others are more broken than them and they just don't know it.
Right. Well, that was like the guy that was trying to convince me that I was neglected as a child. And I'm like, no, I wasn't.
You just don't know. Oh, boo-boo.
You just don't know. And it's like,
I'm so sorry.
But that kind of person that you just described and the person that, you know, tried to convince me that I was neglected as a child because I was given a lot of autonomy and a lot of, you know, and my parents trusted me to do things. was, you know, those people are literally a cancer, not just a virus, a whole fucking cancer, like to the point where I posted something about this where I'm like, businesses actually single out people like this and come for them because they will ruin the whole fucking office. They will ruin the whole business. They will bring down the morale, and they do it insidiously by convincing you that you had a problem you didn't know you had until I told you about it. And that's the type of bullshit that's spreading.
Me, the extremely superior, I am all well informed about trauma. I can see trauma when I see it. You just didn't know you had it.
I just need to tell you. I'm going to evangelize now my fucking trauma. Right. The way, the truth, and the light is to follow me in this fucking lake of sadness. And I mean, to me, it's like those kind of people who are like, you have trauma, you just don't know it, are the same people that say, you know, your 3-year-old is trans, they just don't know it yet because they like this color instead of that color, you know? Or, you know, it's like, your cat is vegan. The fuck it is. My cat's not vegan.
Your dog experiences racism. That's the new one.
Your dog experiences racism. You know, and I'm just like, all of this is like, you're projecting your bullshit onto everyone else. And that's the lens through which you see the world. You see the world through trauma. You see the world through, you know, through racism. You see the world through patriarchy. And you think that everything just naturally fits into it. And you're selling it now. You're literally selling it to people. And it's like, and I see people pushing back and saying, that's not how it is for me. That's not how I see it. And I'm not buying into this shit. I'm sorry. It's just not my thing. And people get really upset when you reject it because misery loves company. And it's like, you know what though? I'd rather keep company with people who maybe I can't talk to you every day, but when we do talk, it's productive. Or when we do talk, it's uplifting and inspiring and motivating. I'd rather talk to those people. I'd rather joke with people than do this. I'd rather, you know, fuck, Chris and I will troll people. Fuck it, you know, and just have a good time. I don't care, you know, but like, it's still better than bringing each other down and selling misery to each other in the way that people are doing it. And it's like, you're selling trauma. You're selling racism. You're selling an experience they didn't really have, and you're making it fit. And it's like, and I don't understand if you're getting a commission or not, but you certainly are doing it like it's your fucking job, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, and that's the thing, like that's what you were describing is exactly that. It's like, you just don't know it yet. You don't know that, you know, that it's the patriarchy and blah, blah. It's like, have you considered that maybe this is not everybody else's experience and that this, that maybe the problem is you instead? Like, I don't know.
There's something about nothing corrupts as much as weakness does.
Yeah.
People always say power corrupts. Nope. Money corrupts. No. Weakness does.
100%. Far worse. It's a far worse, it is one of the more, and it presents itself as meek and small and, you know, and victimized. And, you know, and so it's like, I saw somebody say, you know, Bob is getting $1,200 in food stamps and, you know, and while this corporation is making all this, you know, is getting all these subsidies from the government. And I was like, what kind of subsidies? Like, is it just a lower tax rate? Because if it's just taking less of your money, that's not a subsidy. That's not them subsidizing anything. That's just them leaving you alone, right? So like, what is exactly the subsidy? Nobody could itemize it. Nobody could tell me what they were.
And I promise we will jump right back into the conversation and the episode. But in the meantime, I would like you to hit the like, hit the subscribe, hit the share, and mostly get involved on my socials, get involved on my Instagram, get involved in the conversation on Facebook, get on my email list. You know how much I have been, let's say, ostracized and removed from certain spaces. So if my Facebook one day disappears, you won't know where to find me. So get on my email list on thedollaracademy.com. Thank you so much. Meanwhile, snap a little picture of it, do a screenshot, share it on your Instagram, tag me. I will absolutely reshare. And any feedback and everything is possible is very welcome too. Thank you so much. Now let's go back to the episode.
It ends up being tense. Well,
this is the thing that this... I think the problem on our behalf, and we will keep doing this, otherwise we won't have a show, but the problem is that rational people try to rationalize with irrational people, right? So when we do the whole, like, you know, trans rights, just as an example, the first question, I'm not even interested, was what is a woman? My first question is, which rights do they not have?
Right.
Do they not, like, aren't they allowed to carry a gun? Aren't they allowed, you know, medical help? Aren't they allowed to get married? Like, which rights? Are they allowed to not talk? Like, which rights do they not have?
Yeah.
And 99% of the people cannot answer that.
Right.
What then gets in the trenches is whether, you know, transitioning is a medical right, whether abortion is a right, right? That when you believe, when life is so luxurious that working for something or having to exert any amount of energy to achieve anything is being perceived as trauma or as wrongdoing onto you, there is no rationalizing with these people.
Right.
Right. And you and I, we come up with a million examples and it will not land because right. They will, again, you just don't know it, or you're just coping, or you're just lucky, or you just, again, they're using for me now, well, Bara, you're lucky because you come from a communist country because that's what made you so resilient. Okay. Okay. No, and this is verbatim. This is absolutely verbatim.
But there was not a time. Once. There was
I've
a
heard
time
it 8 times.
When Americans were also resilient. There was.
And most Americans still are.
Yeah. You were able to get through a depression. You were able to get through 2 world wars. You were able to get through, you know, you got past slavery. You got past, you know, you had a lot of shit. You got a lot of baggage. And, you know, the United States kind of airs its laundry out to the rest of the world, so everybody can point at how fucked up we are, which is fine. I don't have a problem with people criticizing where we went wrong. But at the end of the day, people kept going, you know? And like, I get put out by the idea that it's like, I'm going to vilify the best of us. I'm going to vilify the big oil company. And it's like, why? So like, somebody is like, I can't believe you're shilling for big oil. And I was like, shilling? I said, you understand that they get, if they, whatever breaks they get in their taxes, whatever, okay, they actually provide a service to me. They make my life fucking awesome, okay? Were it not for big oil, I wouldn't have my car. I wouldn't have heat. I wouldn't have any of the things that I have right now. I'd be living like a fucking hobo. I am thrilled for big oil. I'm happy to pay them for what they do for me. I said, I want to know what the fuck Bob on food stamps is doing for me. That's what I want to know, because I got to pay for his stupid ass, but I don't get anything from Bob. So you tell me who I'm supposed to actually be mad at. And it's like, look, I'm not a fan of welfare for corporations or people. I'm not an advocate for it. But the one thing I know is who I get, who butters my fucking bread. And I know that my lights are on because somebody decided to go in a coal mine and dig up coal. But my lights aren't on because somebody's living in Section 8 housing.
But what do you, how do you get through to people that believe that existing comes as a free bonus with the right to have a lavish life?
Right.
Because even all these like anti-capitalist people, right? Because that's, it's often rooted in the, you know, the hate America people, the, you know, everyone's rights are being taken away. If you ask them, what should, like, because they're fighting with reality. What should life be like? Is there, there's some version of a commune, right? Like we live in a community and, you know, we kind of like, we enjoy our arts. We do art all day. And if you ask them, okay, but who provides the food? Oh, you know, we kind of, you know, we just can't, and this is the dissonance, because, and it's definitely a city problem, this conversation, because there's a, well, you know, we kind of grow our own food. And anyone who says kind of, because that's, it's always kind of, right? Or we kind of go, right? Or we kind of, or, you know, it kind of is there, shows me that, again, you're back and you're an infant. Because growing your own food is really fucking hard.
Yeah, that's not kind of.
You can't. It requires an extortionate amount of labor.
Yeah.
That takes away from you being able to, who's going to make the paint? The canvases, the brushes that you just want to create art with all day.
And your clothes and your house.
And your clothes, right.
And yeah. And
well, no, we shouldn't have government and we shouldn't have to own property. Okay, but we do. Now what?
Right.
And in the same breath, right, they're very, and we've talked about this, they're anti-owning things, but very much so when you touch them, or you touch their phone, it's very much, don't touch my phone. So they really much understand the concept of owning things.
They do. No, they understand. Right. They're being deliberately obtuse about it. But the reality is that they do understand it. They just don't like it. They don't like how it shook out. And they don't like the work that goes into it. And they don't want to have to do those things. And, you know, I think people don't understand. I don't think people understand, like, how different mechanisms in a market work that don't think fundamentally, like I've heard people complain about big oil, but they don't understand that, like, okay, what happens if Exxon just decides, you know what, fuck it, I'm out, then I'm sick of your shit, I'm so fucking bad, I'm cashing in my chips and I'm going home, fuck you guys. Let's say they did that. Let's say Walmart,
Monsanto.
Yeah, Monsanto. let's just say that everybody that you're vilifying today just shuts down and says, you know what, go fuck yourself, I don't need this. I don't need a fucking job. I'm like made for life. I have intergenerational wealth for the next 5 generations. If everybody just didn't do shit, I could pay for them comfortably and lavishly. I don't need to be here. Fuck this. Right?
We could buy new cars every day and still be fine for the rest 10, 20, 40 years.
The person who's fucked is not me. The person who's fucked is you. You don't have a car. You don't have oil. You don't have it. I do. I bought all my shit. You don't have it. So I'm providing all of this shit and you're pissed at me at how I go about it as if I had a fucking choice. I don't, you know, I mean, it's rigged and I get it, that you can get mad at the rigging, right? Same with insurance. Absolutely. Nobody fucking knows how insurance works. So everybody gets pissed off and says it's just a ripoff. Like, you have no fucking clue what the model of insurance actually is. Mm-hmm. I said, tell me what insurance is. It's just extortion. Please. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And then they don't know what borrowing money is. They don't know what fucking credit is. They don't know how that works. And they're like, you know, they just, the banks are this and that. And I'm like, you don't get to say, you don't get to talk shit unless you know it. You can talk shit about something if you know it, right? But if you don't know it, don't fucking talk shit about it. Because you're just gonna talk yourself into a hole. I literally have done math problems for people explaining, because they were like, $85 billion in profit from, you know, at all the oil companies have all this profit. And I was like, okay, let's go look it up. They're publicly traded. I can just go Google them right now and see what their profit is. I did. And I was like, okay, let's say Exxon gives up half of its 8%. That's 4 cents on the dollar. That they have a profit margin of 8%. So we're just going to cut it in half, 4 cents on the dollar. So now you're saving 4 cents on your gas when you fill up per dollar, right? So $3, so 12 cents per gallon. You're saving that. What do you suppose you're going to do with that, my baller? Because, you don't even have dollar bills out of that. Like, not for months. Like, returning that profit makes no sense. That's not breaking your bank. What's breaking your bank is everything else. And it's like, they don't know.
Now, before we end the episode, I am confident that you wouldn't just leave without hitting like, without hitting subscribe, without hitting that share button, right? You wouldn't do that to me. I'm up in here connecting with people, wanting you to be a part of the conversation, and you would almost leave? Come on. Don't be like that.
I don't know how to do the math. And so they're just frustrating themselves in their own ignorance. You know, they don't understand how it all shakes out. They don't understand why it is the way it is. They don't understand how the business model of compounded interest or insurance works. They have no idea. And I'm like, and you guys are allowed to just sign up for this shit, but you don't know how the fuck it works. So you've got a toolbox of things, but you don't know how to use them.
The only thing that they know is that other people have more fun things.
Right. And never once asked how the fuck do they use these tools to get to where they are.
Infants.
Right.
Infants.
Oh, that's right.
It's and literally the infant sitting in the sand pile going like, but I want that toy. And you go like, well, no, that's someone else's toy, but I want it.
Right. And it hurts.
And then having a complete tantrum.
Right.
That no, that's his toy. No, right. But I want it.
Right. Yeah.
And then coming like, well, he should share. Well, if it's his, then he should share.
No. No. If they don't want to share, they don't want to share. And it's just like, I think, you know, to your point on how do you convince them? I don't know that you do. I think it's one of those. There's like a defect where there's a point where it's like, you can't fix a person that was born without whatever. The best you can do is give them a prosthetic, right? But they were born without this thing, this ability to critically think, this ability to kind of wrap their heads around abstract concepts and, you know, and even definitive concepts. They cannot wrap their heads around how things work. And so they're crippled. And that's one of the reasons why I'm like, I'm bringing back the whole, you have a very weak bloodline. And you just need to sterilize yourself.
Well, they are sterilizing themselves, so it's fine.
Yeah,
it's,
probably.
It's just annoying for us annoying. But hey, that's a great problem to have. I'd rather have the weak ones around me to tolerate than not have like having to haul water for 5 hours
right.
walking.
Right. At least I'm not. Yeah. At least I'm not digging in coal mines. So I can pay somebody else to do that. It's like, yeah, okay. So the problem is that you exist for a little while, and you know, I just have to live through this with you, and that's okay. You know, I'm still gonna have my life. My life doesn't change because you've got.
It's gonna be excellent.
Right. I'm still gonna have an excellent life. I'm still gonna live. You know, I'm still gonna be doing my fun things and having a good time at it. It's just, you know, I see this, and I'm like, all I want is like. The only thing I want is I don't have to change their mind. I just want, what I do is I comment for the purpose of other people seeing it and watching
Absolutely.
Them get shut down.
Absolutely.
Because it's like for people, and I'm specifically doing it for people who might be tempted to follow that logic.
You're on the edge.
Right. And then
Absolutely.
They see me and they're like, No, you're right. No, you know, I got to get my shit together. And they go off and grind a little
Absolutely.
Harder, you know, but I'm hopeful that there are people who see it because once I see one like, I see one fucking like, I'm like,
you're good.
That's all I need. I just need somebody to see it and somebody to just, I can't convince this asshole. They're so deep and far gone into their shit. Their eyeballs deep in it. They can barely breathe. They're choking on it, but I'm going to convince you not to go in. And if I can convince one fucking person not to go in, we're done. My work is done here.
There
yeah.
we go. And let's end on that high note.
Yeah.
For everyone who's upset that your bloodline is weak, I'm sorry, can relate, cannot be you. Ironically, you have so much fucking more power than you think. However, if anyone who was on the edge, who was on the verge, who was recovering from weakness... goes like, yes, one thing they said was good. The rest upset me really much and trauma. We good.
Yeah.
It's a wrap, people. Diamonds and Demons this week. See y'all next week. Come here to get your insults that are also life hacks.
Yes.